In West Africa, deep in the Sahara Desert, men still work salt mines, digging by hand. The mines, and their tradition of a camel caravan, are at least 1,000 years old. But NPR's Alex Chadwick, on a National Geographic radio expedition, learned they may not survive much longer.
Walking here from Timbuktu takes a caravan 15 days. Driving the roadless desert takes us 3. We saw a small village 2 days ago. Since then, nothing to help us pass time, except history lessons from our interpreter, Gottfried Peter Ibizidor.
In the beginning, there were no salt mines in any part of West Africa. But the Arabs found this place in the 9th or the 10th century, and it started mining salt, and it's still going on until today. And it is known as one of the biggest salt mines in the desert, right in the heart of the desert.
I'd read that in the Middle Ages, salt was sometimes valued equally with gold. But I don't truly understand the salt trade until I see what they did and do to get it at this strange place. Anthropologist Wade Davis.
It was extraordinary arriving last night in a storm of biblical proportions, with lightning exploding in the sky, winds that swept away our tents, and then to wake up this morning to a perfect sunlight on a plain that seems to go forever.
The weather is occasionally dramatic, the landscape always. An ancient seabed, sand over layers of sediment and mineral, including salt. Wade Davis is studying the 1,000-year tradition of the caravans and the miners.
So I think I'll just drift through the mines, trying to get a sense of what it means to work here, what the relationship is between the caravans that are departing with the salt and the people who are left behind to work it. Just trying to get a sense of the lay of the land.
We separate, and I follow our interpreter. He knows one of the miners here, a 15-year-old, barely more than a child.
We're following a boy here. He's from the town of Arawan, where we were 3 days ago. And this is his first year as a miner here. He's going to show us where he works.
It's an open pit, square cut, about 60 feet on a side. Steps in one wall lead 10 feet down to the floor. The boy's job is to chop a 90-pound slab of salt from a cavernous opening in the side of the pit.
How far back down in there does that mine go?
Tu peux aller jusqu'à 2 km, 3 km, si tu ne rencontres pas quelqu'un.
Underneath, you can have as far as 1 to 2 kilometers.
What?
Underneath.
No.
And people stay under there to work, even at night, with a lamp.
Why?
If you want to sit for yourself, come with him.
To go down into the... Now, he's got a kind of a single-bladed pickaxe, it looks like.
Ce travail est tellement dur.
This work is really difficult. I never had an idea of how difficult it was here in Tardini.
The terrain looks like photos of trench warfare. Salt rubble strewn like ramparts at the mine pit edge. Miners use salt blocks to build the huts where they live. It's too hot to work most of the year. The nearest water is a half day's walk. Of every 4 slabs a miner digs, 3 go to pay the caravans. The boy wants to quit. And so does a caravan leader who's been at this for many seasons.
It's not that he's got enough money, that's why he wants to quit, but because he is very tired of going up and down in the desert. He's also got children, but he prefers sending his children to school to be one day big men in the banks working somewhere else, but not to engage themselves again in this salt trade.
Well, does he think the salt trade is going to end? Will it stop because people won't do it anymore?
I don't think this salt trade is ever going to end, because salt, whatever we eat, we add salt. And our great-grandfathers even told us that the salt of Tardini is the best in the whole world.
It's true. West Africans think this salt is the best. I'd brought some from my local grocery store at home. They didn't like it. When I tasted Tardini salt, it really was much better, milder, sweeter. Even though the extreme conditions here make mechanized mining impractical, the regional demand will probably keep the mines operating by hand for a long time. The fate of the camel caravans, however, and the superb skills and knowledge of the men who crossed the desert, those are other questions.
It is becoming very clear, even within us, the camel walkers, that the truck riders are destroying this market.
A camel guide, Mohammed Tabar Oud Sidi.
Today, when you walk even from here to Tombouctou, you might find only one or two people walking camels, meaning each day and day out, the trade is declining.
A man he knows had sold all of his camels and bought a truck. But in the desert, says the guide, this bargain may not work out for very long.
It is very unfortunate because someone who is used to his camel have sold all his camels to buy a truck, of course, which he has no idea of. He can drive it today, but when he breaks down in the middle of the sand, that is where he's going to regret more. Now he has to learn how to fix up a truck. A camel gets sick. He knows what to do.
Perhaps the caravans will continue for another generation or so. My anthropologist friend, Wade Davis, is beginning a project he calls the Ethnosphere to study this phenomenon, ancient traditions threatened by modern times here and everywhere in the world. The work is simply too hard. The pay too little. It doesn't make sense. Not in modern terms, anyway.
What's interesting to us is that this practice and this tradition persists despite all of that and has persisted for hundreds of years. Why do any of us have traditions? What is it that salt means to these people? You know, you hear it described as the gold of the desert. Clearly, it's something about the very act of moving into the desert has inherent value. The challenges of that desert, the knowledge one must acquire in order to make that passage through the desert. And I think the salt trade exists because it gives meaning to the lives of these people, however difficult those lives indeed are.
2 days later, our small truck caravan returning to Timbuktu, still hundreds of miles away. We come upon a salt caravan stranded by a desert storm, 40 camels, 4 men, down to a single quart of water. One of them is just setting off on foot. Maybe he can find a place 10 miles away to dig for a spring. Anyway, they'll leave here tomorrow and walk to the next well 30 miles on. For now, one of the desert men takes the little remaining water, pours half of it in a kettle, and begins preparing tea for us. We are strangers arriving at their camp, and this is tradition. 4 Radio Expeditions in the Sahara Desert of West Africa. This is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society. You can find links to the Ethnosphere Project and photographs from the Sahara Expedition at npr.org.